Turn this evening in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is a record of something that actually happened a long time ago. It is not a made-up story. I know as children, we're read a lot of stories. Fairy tales about little boys that grow long noses and all kind of make-believe things. This is not a make-believe story. What's recorded here in God's Word actually happened. And most folks know this account as Daniel in the lion's den. But that's probably poorly named. A better title would be Jesus Christ Saves Daniel in the Lion's Den. And I'm going to show you why, I hope. Look at verse 1 here. We read, "It pleased Darius." Now, Darius is the king at this time over all this land where they had come down and conquered Israel and Jerusalem and taken all these people back up to where Darius lived. And he's the king there. And we need to realize in that day and time, a king was a king. He had absolute sovereign authority over everything, everybody in the kingdom. When the king said jump, you said how high. When the king said do, you did. If the king said, you die, you die. It pleased King Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. This guy had so much going on, it took 120 princes and generals and officials to keep track of it all. This is big, big business back then. You know, God lets men have some temporary rule and reign over his creation, but it's only temporary. Where's King Darius now? Where's the kingdom that he had? It's all gone, isn't it? Anybody here ever hear of King Darius besides here? No. It's because God let him for a little while rule over this land and some of his people. Look at verse 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. God holds all men and women accountable. We need to realize that. We're responsible for the stuff we do and say. God keeps evil men in check this way too. He sets over them rulers. And that's why we respect people in offices and police officers and that kind of thing, is because they only have that authority because God gave it to them. And because God gave it to them, we ought to show them respect for that. But this King Darius had so much going on. He has all these princes and presidents and all of this, but he needs these three presidents. You know why? Because he realizes if somebody's not watching his back, these guys, these princes, they're going to rob him, they're going to steal, they're going to do unscrupulous, wicked things. Why is that? Because that's our nature. If God lifts his hand off of any of us, let's be careful when we look at the fellow who gets caught doing something. Except for the grace of God, we'd be doing the same thing. So let's be careful in that. But Darius, realizing this, sets up all these offices so nobody's stealing from him and doing what they shouldn't do. Then look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. As time went along, Daniel was so good at what he did. He was so conscientious and worked so hard that Darius went, Daniel needs to be in charge of this whole thing. Well, what was there about Daniel that set him apart? Do you see these two words? I got them underlined in my Bible. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Where do you get that? The Spirit of God was in him. One way to tell or recognize among many, one way to recognize God's people. Do you know what they all have? An excellent spirit. In varying degrees, we don't expect a babe to know the things that a little baby doesn't know the things that young people know or that grown-ups know, do we? But all of God's people, they have this excellent spirit. They're gracious. They're kind. They're truthful. They have integrity. They have a work ethic. They work hard. Do you know God's people don't need a taskmaster? They'll work hard. They'll work hard. They'll be honest and they'll be truthful. It's called an excellent spirit. And Daniel had it. Why? Because he was a child of God and God gave him this spirit. And at this point, Daniel's getting to be pretty old. And he's been had Christ revealed to him for some time. And we ought to grow in grace. That's a scriptural term. This excellent spirit ought to get more and more excellent as time goes on. I'll tell you, warn you about something else. Those who do not know our God, you know what they do? They fuss and they fight and they lie and they steal and they connive. They're always trying to figure the angle in the situation. They lust after money. What's wrong with them? They don't have an excellent spirit. You see, when Adam fell, all that was gone. There's nothing excellent in any of us by nature. But the gift of God for his children in this life is this excellent spirit. Now look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. What's wrong? They're jealous of him. They don't like him being the boss over them. They can't cheat and steal and take and do. So they don't like it. These presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow. You know, envy and jealousy is pretty common among those who don't like God's people. If somebody over here is really good at what he does, it takes real grace not to look at him and be jealous. Or worse yet, try to do something to make him look not as good as he really is. And unfortunately, that's what God's people will find. There's always going to be people around us. They want the position and the respect that God's people have, but they're not interested in earning it. They like the integrity they see, but they don't want to do what's required to achieve it. Nor are they willing to bow to the authority of those over them. A mark of God's people is that when we have a boss, we all got bosses, somebody we answer to, God's people bow to that. They yield to that. A major goal of the believer is that others find no fault. They desire to be like Christ. You know what Pilate said? Those guys brought up, those Pharisees brought up the Lord Jesus Christ before the court, and they made this accusation and that accusation. When it was all said and done, what did Pilate say? I don't see any fault in him. There's no fault in him. Not at all. People hate that. People hate that. God can always, in everything we do, find fault. We know none of us are perfect. Don't we? We know that. Because everything we touch gets contaminated by sin. Ever since Adam, that's what happened. However, God's people don't behave a certain way so God will save them, but rather because God in Christ and his perfect work has saved them. Do we see the difference? God saves his people, and then God gives them this excellent spirit. Look at verse 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. There's just nothing we can find that's wrong with him, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel pictures Christ here. There's no fault in him, no fault in him. It's a great compliment to Daniel and the grace of his God that his only fault in their eyes, do you know what it was? They said, "Except concerning how he worships God." You know what they said about him? "The guy worships God all the time. How's he find time to run the kingdom? He's always worshiping his God." Oh, that it would be said about some of us. And you know, it is said about God's people. That guy, he goes to church more than anybody I know. He's there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He goes to these conferences. Oh, that it might be said about us. The only fault we have is that we worship our God too much. Look at verse 6 with me. "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, 'King Darius, live forever.' And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of asking you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. These fellas, I'll tell you, they hatched a plot. They meant it for evil, and they were envious and thought to set a trap for Daniel. They appealed to the vanity of Darius, the king. They tricked him into signing a decree for evil purposes. But look in verse 10, what it says. "Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree," in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he always did aforetime." Daniel knew. Did you see what that says right there in verse 10? Daniel knew. Daniel knew these fellows envied him and hated him. He knew they were hatching a plot. When he heard about the decree that these fellows were writing out, and you think he didn't know what was going on in the kingdom? But he let them bring it to the king and sign it. Daniel knew what these men were trying to do. These men knew the wicked business they were about. But let me tell you something else. God knew. Do we realize that the whole time this was going on behind secret and closed doors, God knew. God knew what these men were about. And be assured, no one ever set about any evil purpose. Nobody ever sets about anything evil toward us or Christ, God and his people, that God is not fully aware. He knows. He knows. He knows their plan. He knows their purpose. He knows their intent from A to Z. And be assured, God has provided the solution. He has it in place long before these evil men ever hatch their plot. What did Daniel do? He knew. What did he do? Did he sneak around and tell the king? And did he try to set up something to avoid all this. No, he was going to worship his God as he always did. What did he do? The same thing we should do when a trial comes our way. You see what Daniel did? It says he kneeled upon his knees and he prayed. And the second thing he did is he gave thanks. He gave thanks. It's a privilege of God's people to be tried by trouble. But you know, there's trouble, and then there's real trouble. Real trouble. It's one thing to have a toothache. It's another to have brain cancer. We see the difference in those two things. It's one thing to not get the raise that we thought we were going to get. It's another thing to get fired. There's trouble, and then there's real trouble. What does Daniel do when this is real trouble, folks? He knows he's broken the king's law, and he's going in that den of lions. He knows that. What's he do? The same thing he always does. He prays and gives thanks. Not out of form or ritual, but out of constant need and desire. I tell you what, if we're in the habit, and God gives us the grace to have this in our lives, to come to worship, to read the word and to pray. When trouble comes, that's what we'll do. When real trouble comes, that's what we'll really do. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree? Now, you ask me, ask yourself this. They wrote the decree. They presented it to the king. They got the king to sign it. And now they're going, hey, king, you know that decree you signed? Like he wouldn't remember that? Or he didn't know that every man that should ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And the king answered and said, yeah, that's true. The thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, that altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, and I wish there were a way to get the tone of what these fellows said next. They said to him, that Daniel, you see it right there? It's not just, you know, you remember Daniel? No, it's like, that Daniel, the one we're after, that Daniel. I don't know how many Daniels there were, but it was that Daniel. They thought, we got him now. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. They thought, we got him. We got him. And these evil men couldn't wait to spring the trap. They ran to the king thinking, we got Daniel now. And they were so foolish and ignorant to think that King Darius would not realize at some point exactly the trap they had laid and set for Daniel by deceiving the king. Let me give you an illustration I think you young people who are in school can identify with. You ever play a joke on somebody? Or had a classmate play a joke on somebody? Y'all call it pranking somebody now, don't you? Is that what you call it when you prank somebody? You set them up with something and then you switch them and they get embarrassed. And kids, be careful with that. It's not usually near as funny as we think it is, okay? And let's do to them maybe what you'd like to have and not do to them the things you'd not like to have done to them. But we know what we're talking about here, playing a prank, right? You know, it's one thing to play one on your brother, isn't it? It's another to play it on somebody, classmate in school, right? What about pranking your teacher? Maybe not such a good idea. Or how about pranking the principal? You might want to think about that one before you do it. Do you know what these fellas were doing? They were pranking the king. They were trying to pull a fast one on the king. They were embarrassing the king. This is a bad thing. It's a bad thing. And yet men are so foolish to think there's not a day of reckoning for sin. Do we think we can do the things we do and God won't hold us accountable? Oh my, that God is so blind that he does not see the sin and the motive? The king wasn't fooled here. And God will hold all of us accountable for sin because he's holy and he's just. And Darius is going to hold these men accountable for what they did. Look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He was upset that he'd been tricked into doing this, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And you know what? He couldn't do it. And folks, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how hard we try, we cannot deliver ourselves from our sin. Can't be done. Not by us, no matter how hard we work or think we might. Daniel had broken the law, and the price had to be paid and the penalty applied. Look at verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." I mean, when are they going to figure out what they're doing and to who they're doing it? This king, he may have helped write the rules of the Medes and Persians. He's a sovereign reigning ruler here. He knows everything going on in his kingdom. How? He's got Daniel and presents to 120 princes who just can't wait to come and tell him what's happening. And here they are going, "Okay, you remember now. How foolish are they? Oh my." Do men not think or realize that when God Almighty, who sees and hears and knows everything, that we can do something and go, "Ooh, that's probably not good. I'll hide that one. I'll pretend that never happened." No, God keeps a record and he knows everything. And the worst thing we can do is act like we can do something about it. Do we really think God is fooled if we go, I'm gonna turn over a new leaf. I'm gonna start going to church. I'm gonna get religion. That doesn't mean a thing. God's not fooled by that. He knows the intent of the heart. Unless we get an excellent spirit, nothing's ever gonna change. God called these men Pharisees. Beware those who want the law applied to others because they think they've kept the law themselves. These poor fellows, they didn't mind going, "That Daniel," because they thought of themselves as us good guys. And it was exactly opposite that. And the ruler knew it. God knows what's in the heart. For everybody he knows. He knows who loves him, who wants the glory to be his, as opposed to those who don't. Beware those who want the law applied to others because they think they've kept the law themselves. God calls them workers of iniquity. And Daniel may have taken or broken the law of Darius, but these men were interested in humiliating him. You know what they wanted? They wanted his throne. And that's what men want today. If they could, they'd take God off his throne and we'd put ourselves there. Not really. Is it that bad? How bad was it back here? It's the same thing. Oh my. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now this is interesting. This is very interesting. Darius admits here that he can't help Daniel, that only Daniel's God can. You say, how'd that come about? What made Darius say this about Daniel and his God? I've thought about this for days. Apparently, the reason Darius said that is that Daniel had been telling Darius something about his God. He's sovereign. He's righteous. He's holy. He's able to save. He'd been telling him all these things. Oh, that God the Spirit would enable us, that he would open a door for us to tell somebody about the God we worship and serve, that they might see and believe on Christ. This is evidence, I think, that Daniel had been preaching to Darius. Not preachy, you need to listen to me. No, he'd just been talking about it. His God, how glorious he is, how good he was to him. He'd been brought up out of captivity, and here he was, the first president in a kingdom. How did that happen? Daniel said, my God did that. My God did that, because he's able to do all things. He's good, and he's holy. You get the... Darius here says, the only hope you got, Daniel, is your God's going to have to save you. And you see verse 17... Verse 16, then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. If you're going to be delivered, it's going to be him. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. From what I could read and find out, this pit, this den for the lions, was a hole they dug in the ground. And it was a pretty big hole, and it had to be deep, or else those lions were going to climb out of there. It had to be 15, 20 feet deep, I would think. And I understand they kept 7 to 10 lions in there all the time. You know why they kept them in there? Back then, they didn't have the police go out and catch somebody, and then everybody got lawyers, and they started making accusations and defending themselves and all this. No, when somebody did something they thought was wrong, they brought them to the king. You know what the king said? Not guilty. Guilty. And if he said guilty, they didn't say, you're going to spend 6 months in jail or 10 years at hard labor. No, you know what they did? There's only one punishment. Throw him in with the lions. And you know what they did for those lions? They kept them right on the edge of starving to death. In case there weren't enough criminals or people caught doing what they shouldn't for a period of time, it said they might throw a sheep in there just to keep the lions alive. But the rest of the time, the lions just ate the criminals. Just ate those that broke the king's law. Do we understand it from this book, God has a pit? God has a pit. And there's going to come a day when every one of us, everyone who's ever lived, has got to go stand in front of the judge. The king. And he's going to say one of two things. He's going to say, guilty. Throw him in the pit. Or he's going to say, enter in. I don't see a blemish on you anywhere. How could they say that? How could that happen? We all know we're guilty, don't we? How many evil thoughts have we had since we got in this room? Much less today or this week. What happened to those? The Lord Jesus Christ has already taken them in a pit. When they crucified him at Calvary, you know what they were doing? They were preparing him for the pit. And when he died, what did they do? They took this pit, this hole in the cave. They put him in there and they rolled a stone over it. Do you see? That's the same thing Daniel's done here. He went into this pit. They rolled the stone. Everybody except King Darius thought, well, when we take that stone away, there ain't going to be no more Daniel. He's going to be cat food. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. What can we do when a brother or sister in Christ is in trouble? What can we do? Talking real trouble. Perhaps we could and should do what this king did. You know, we could postpone what is pretty much a constant concern about what we eat and drink. So how much does your life go around about that like mine? What's for breakfast? What's for lunch? What's for dinner? What are we having? King Darius was so concerned for Daniel, he didn't eat. What could we do? We might actually turn off the TV or the computer for a little while and think about that brother or sister. King Darius had no music played that night. The only thing in his mind was delivering Daniel, his beloved Daniel. We could sit in a chair or lay in our bed with the lights out and beg our God to have mercy on our dear sister or brother in Christ who's in real trouble. Darius laid up all night long thinking about Daniel. Well, perhaps we too might get a similar result as did Darius here. Look at verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. You know what a lamentable voice is if you look that up? Here's what he was doing. He didn't come in there going whistling and, you know, thinking, you know, yippee-ki-yay, Daniel. No, he came in there going, Daniel? Daniel? Are you down there, Daniel? Are you still alive? He loved him. Anybody you know ever been sick, nigh to death? Tell you what you'll do. You'll cry with a lamentable voice. You'll beg God for mercy. Think about some of our dear brethren now whose loved ones are sick unto death. Maybe we need to cry with a lamentable voice. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. He said, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? He said, you've been telling me about this king, about this God who's able to deliver. You've been telling me about him. Is he really able? Is he really able, Daniel? If he is, Daniel, you'll answer me. Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. He said, the eternal God has delivered me from the mouths of the lion. Look what Daniel said. Daniel said, my God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You know, I really didn't do anything to harm you, O king, as God is my witness. Who sent his angel? Daniel said, my God. He said, who shut the lion's mouths? My God. Why didn't they hurt me? My God. How was innocency found in me? My God. Why is there no sin found in us? Our God, Jesus Christ. I've done no hurt or harm to my king. How's that? My God kept me from it. My God. God the Father sent God the Son to shut the mouths of those lions, and he'll send his Spirit to shut the mouths of our accusers. Our sin cannot hurt or harm us. In the day we stand there, when Christ says there's no fault in this one, nobody else is going to say a word. We're therefore innocent before the Holy God and come in the name of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect. Daniel went into the lion's den guilty, but came out having the consequences of sin satisfied. You notice that the law said, whoever does this, ask a petition of anybody for 30 days beside the king, they be cast into the lion's den. He was. But he came back out. Jesus Christ went in the pit and paid the price, and then he came out. And that's evidence that he satisfied the law. Daniel went into the lion's den guilty, came out with the consequences of sin satisfied. That angel, you know who that was? In the Old Testament, oftentimes an angel is spoken of, when in fact it's a pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent angels on errands at times. But I'm pretty sure the one who went in the pit with Daniel, that angel was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that he was glad. Exceedingly glad. The king was glad. He was exceedingly glad. God the Father is glad. Exceedingly glad and satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And it says, notice this in verse 23, this phrase, then was the king exceedingly glad for Daniel and commanded that he should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Now let's get this straight. Did Daniel, when he found out he was going in the pit, he said, I better believe on God now. Did he, when he actually went in there, was that when he first went, I believe God can help me now? No. It's by faith. I don't know if you noticed in the great list of faith in Hebrews that Brother Jared read about Moses and all the, did you see in verse, I think it's 33, it said, and the mouths of the lions were shut. This is an act of faith. Not the mouths weren't shut because Daniel believed. Okay? God gave Daniel that faith long before he ever knew there was a pit. But when he went in the pit, that faith was revealed. And when God sends us real trouble, if we're his, that excellent spirit will bubble up and we'll believe. We'll believe what Daniel did, that God's able to deliver him. I wish there were a way to make this real for the children. I just wish there were a way. I won't try the best I know how. Daniel is brought to the pit. The cover's removed. And they throw him in. It doesn't say they lowered him on a rope, does it? They threw him in, which if it's 15 feet, I mean, if you threw one of us off the roof here, When we hit the ground, we're going down. And he hit the ground down there. What do you think the first thing he saw was? He looks over here, and here is this hulking 900-pound male lion. And he looks over here, and here's two female lions that haven't eaten in I don't know how long. Can we understand if he thinks, I'm a goner? I'm done for. But then, listen to what he saw. He sees this, and he sees this, and suddenly he realizes there's not something, there's someone between him and the lions. Now, just who do you suppose that is? It's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come down to deliver Daniel from the lions. And he's in there all night long. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands there. And this big old male lion, he goes to lick his lips. He can't get his mouth open. What's keeping it shut? The Lord Jesus Christ is. And these two females are over here. They don't open their mouth. They don't bare their fangs. What's wrong with them? This man, the man Christ Jesus, has got their jaws locked. They can do no harm or hurt of any consequence to Daniel. Did you notice when they brought him out? These fellows all went, looked at Daniel. And you know how lions, you ever see them, they grab the back of the neck with their claw and they claw it. Daniel didn't have a scratch on him. And one day, it's just like, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fiery furnace? And when they came out, they said, they're not burnt at all. They don't even smell like smoke. What happened? The fourth man in the furnace, the Lord Jesus Christ, took it all. Well, let me finish up quickly. Look at verse, and did these evil men get away with what they did? Look at verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. And their children and wives and the lions had the mystery of them and brake their bones in pieces, and ever they came at the bottom of the den. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a new decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before who? Not before me, but the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, the steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When it's all over, Christ is going to be glorified, and God's people are going to be rescued, delivered from their sin, and will rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. May our God enable us to do what Daniel did, pray and give thanks. All right, Daddy, let's have a closing hymn.